At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Let's bang one out now.
Hello and welcome to the Gridiron Show. Will Gavin and Ollie Hunter previewing all of Sunday's action in the NFL. Plus, looking back on Thursday night football, Minshew Mania is officially in town. And could the Jags actually convince Jalen Ramsey to stay? That and much more here on the Gridiron Show. You're listening to The Gridiron Show. Will Gavin, Ollie Hunter with you for our Week 3 preview. We'll also look back on Thursday night football, a dominant 20-7 victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shad Khan spoke on the panel after the game and said that he was happy to make Jalen Ramsey the highest paid cornerback to stay. So we'll get into that as well. Ollie Hunter is alongside me. We're actually in the same room, Ollie Hunter.
This is wonderful, isn't it? I can look into your eyes.
You can't really because they're tiny eyes.
They're so tiny.
I'm also absolutely exhausted today. I didn't mean to stay up for Thursday night football.
Same.
I spent Thursday, I had loads of jobs to do around the house. We're looking at selling the house at the moment, so there's lots of stuff to do. And
Who are you? I must have missed that email. Okay.
Yeah. Well, why would you get an email about us moving?
Don't know.
Might not happen for 6 months. Well, I don't know, but I'm just nipping and tucking the house a little bit.
Sure. Bit of nips and tucks.
But I'd been up since like 2 a.m. because I don't know. I've been home for like 10 days, and jet lag is still affecting me.
It can do that. Yeah.
And so about 10 a.m. yesterday, I went, right, I'm going to have a nap for an hour, just sort myself out, and then I'll get on with all my jobs, and then I'll have a proper sleep tonight. I'll watch Thursday night football in the morning.
Yeah, it's only the Jags-Titans.
I set an alarm, yeah, and I fell asleep for 4 hours. I slept through my alarm.
That's fair.
And then I was up, but the game started, and I was a little bit tired as the game started. I thought, right, I'll just watch the first series, and then I'll fall asleep. And then there was the turnover, and then there was the Minshew touchdown, and then there was the unbelievable throw into double coverage. Somebody said something on Twitter about how Gardner Minshew looks like Joe Montana on that last drive. And I'm like, Joe Montana rarely had to throw into windows that tight because the scheme was so good in San Francisco. I know that it didn't last for the whole game and that it ended up getting a bit nitty gritty in the weather and the rain and the wind and everything. But certainly there were some throws and there was some performance early on in that victory where Minshew just looked absolutely superb, and 9 sacks for the Jags against a much vaunted Titans line. Their offense is dross. It really is. And this continuing leveling out of the AFC South continues.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's going to be just 4 8-8 teams come the end of the year.
I think if the Jags had either a win under their belt or they were, 3-3, it was the middle of the season, maybe that Minshew streak could have gone on, that level of play. But you're right, the weather did make an effect. The pass to Conley over Butler and Byard was ridiculous. And then the pass for the DJ Chark touchdown was superb. He also had a load of passes dropped by Dede Westbrook, who they were absolutely perfectly thrown. And had it not been for drops, it would have been even better for the Jags. So you can't argue with Minshew in any way, I don't think.
I have concerns over the coaching in the front office in Jacksonville, specifically over the Jalen Ramsey situation. But what I did like is that Minshew's incredibly accurate, like stunningly so, working at NFL speed so quickly, learning an offense, getting thrown into the first, like he makes some really accurate throws. But on the first drive, he hit a 15-yard pass after a penalty to get them to 3rd and 1. And then on 3rd and 1, they went for a quick strike to James Shaughnessy. And he overthrew him, and it was just a bad throw. It happens. He's a rookie. Let's give him some time. What I liked is that that was then the punt and the fumble from Adoree Jackson. They set up, and the first thing they did was put the ball back in Minshew's hands, threw a pass to Shaughnessy off the play action to Leonard Fournette, and it was just a great bit of coaching just to make sure his confidence stayed up. We then got Papa Minshew, Flint Minshew in the crowd, being as intense as any human being I've ever seen. Yeah. Brilliant comparison to that. He looks a bit like an older Adam Devine from what's that show called about the three slackers who work in an office. If I showed you a picture of him, you'd A, know who he was, and B, be like, yeah, he does look like a young version of Gardner Minshew's dad.
I thought he looked a bit like the gif of the kid that goes mental. I think he's in a Ducks jersey or he's in a hockey jersey. You know, that baby gif where the baby just goes, ah!
You're telling me that's not what he could have looked like when he was...
Oh, that guy from Pitch Perfect.
Oh, he is in Pitch Perfect. So that's, of course, the reference you went to immediately.
Yeah, I do love a cappella choirs. So
Saxonville is Baxonville.
I hate that. All of that. I hate that. Do you know what? I really don't like the Duval thing. I don't really get it.
Duval. I also picked the Jags. Let's just remember that all when we look at our gridiron picks for the week.
I got roundly mocked
for it. The big kind of news coming out of it, outside of the performances of the two sides, is what's happening about Jalen Ramsey. Trade rumours swirling that he could be dealt as early as today. He was active. He started. He played on all 75 of the defensive snaps, 9 combined tackles, forced a fumble as well. You know, afterwards he refused to address the trade rumours, just talked about the defensive performance. There's this ongoing question, and we got into a real debate with it on a lot of the guys from Gridiron and some of the listeners as well, about whether or not he should stick around. Now, my belief is that there are very few players in the history of the NFL, let alone currently playing, who are good enough that you can put aside all of the off-the-field stuff to make them the highest paid player, to make them the cornerstone of your franchise, even though they're like that. And I'm talking about, you know, the likes of Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
That's the level I'm talking about. I don't think Jalen Ramsey is that level of player. Yeah. He might be the best corner. I think he's the most talented corner in the NFL.
Really?
I think Stephon Gilmore's been the best corner in the NFL the last two seasons. But raw ability-wise, I do think Ramsey is the best. If you pay him $20 million, though, suddenly you can't pay one of those defensive linemen. Suddenly you can't afford AJ Bouye. Suddenly the balance can be totally thrown off. And throwing off the balance for Khalil Mack, who is a leader, a captain, who can drag a team along kicking and screaming with him, I'm kind of fine with.
Brings everybody else up.
I'm not sure whether Jalen Ramsey is that guy. That's my concern, really.
Are you not worried about the kind of message it gives the rest of the organisation? If you throw your toys out of the pram, almost engineer an argument with Doug Marrone, allow your agent to put these trade rumours out, and then you've got the owner of the Jags, Shad Khan, saying, I'm willing to pay him. It all stinks to Patriots high heaven for me.
Yeah, it really does.
So that kind of stuff, if you're a player on that Jags defense, if you're a player on that Jags team, and you're thinking, oh my God, all I have to do is throw a wobbly and I might get a pay rise or might get traded away and therefore potentially another pay rise. I don't know. I don't like the attitude around Ramsey and how he's trying to engineer this. And it kind of comes off the back of what happened with Antonio Brown, how he used social media and his platform and his status as one of the league's best players to engineer a move away as well. So it's a worrying trend that perhaps we're seeing at the moment.
Tom Brady throwing his toys out of the pram about the flags was very funny.
Oh, yeah, it was funny,
but
did they have to go over? Do you know what? This is something that I've got a little bugbear about. I don't think that Fox team's very good. And I think...
I quite like Pereira, actually.
But I don't like Buck. And I think Aikman really kind of plays up to it. I found it all a bit eggy. And the continuing reference of Tom Brady... All right.
I didn't like that too much. Come back, Tom.
Get out.
It was funny.
It was funny, Tom.
There were too many holding calls. And there were some terrible calls against the... You could call a holding call on literally every play. Sometimes a player is just... They're being physical with each other. They tear past them and an arm gets left in there. Particularly when you go into slow motion as well. it feels like they've been told to call holding calls this year, and it's something that needs to be lightened up on. But also not just that, the roughing the passer stuff. We had two bad calls in this game on roughing the passer. We talked about this with the Sunday Night Football game last week, with the Bears game, the Bears Broncos, not Sunday Night Football, the 9 o'clock kickoff, where there was the bad call there. If you're going to make PI reviewable, which I don't think it necessarily needs to be outside of those really ridiculous calls like we had in the NFC Championship game, PI is called quite well, actually. Then those roughing the passer, there was one where Minshew just got literally like, as a completely fair tackle was made, the bottom of the top of someone's helmet, like clipped the chin of his helmet. Tiniest little bit of contact, absolutely nothing, really safe tackle, and they gave it as roughing the passer. And I'm just going, come on, just chill out.
It's that kind of stuff, actually, kind of, it sort of turns you off a little bit, because you think, oh,
I wish it'd turn me off more so I'd turn this game off earlier.
Well, yeah.
I watched until midway through the fourth quarter in the end.
Yeah, same, yeah.
When the Titans scored, I was literally nodding off. I was like, oh, now I've got to stay up, haven't I? Because if they have a big comeback, I feel silly. Stupid. I'm a stupid boy.
They're going to bench Mariota next week, right?
He might do. But I don't want to blame Mariota. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he has some skills and some talents. I'm not sure it's all up there in the noggin. But the play calling was dreadful last night.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful. They have no idea how to use Deion Lewis. They have no idea how to properly use Derrick Henry. Trying to use Derrick Henry out of the backfield when he is the definition of a north-south runner.
Yeah.
And when he gets up ahead of steam, when he gets to the second level and starts to build and he can get some acceleration in his legs, he's great. That's what he's good at. But Deion Lewis being used as that kind of back and then Derrick Henry making wheel routes, it just... It frustrated the hell out
of me. It's like they've got the two the wrong way around. Anyway, Derrick Henry would make my 22-22s. You'd be in there, so...
I mean, if he's in your top 22-22s, that's exactly why you shouldn't be doing a list of 22s.
No, it might be 21.
Yeah,
22. Not every team has a number 22. It's a great idea.
It's a terrible
idea. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, Arthur Smith, you're having a nightmare. Sorry, Mike Vrabel as well. That was Thursday Night Football. I don't think there's much else to take away from it outside of that. The AFC South is pretty open now at this point. Shall we crack on and start to look at the weekend's games?
Yeah, let's do that.
Were there any other bits of news that we needed to get to?
I don't think so.
I did like, this is one bit. The Dolphins claiming Taco Charlton, meaning they've got about six failed first-round picks on their roster now. They're like, they're six first-round picks. That's a lot of talent. They're all guys who you'd now assess as not being first-round picks. Maybe like Leonard Fournette after last night's performance.
I think you could be correct there, Willie. Looks like the Dolphins are just throwing a lot of stuff at a wall and hoping something sticks.
Yeah, the Dolphins experiment is rubbish.
I don't know why I whispered that last bit, by the way,
weird.
Sorry.
It was really weird. Yeah. I hope people, like, when I then came in with the full voice, had, like, turn their volume up. And then got my big booming shout. Just people jumping on the tube. Where do you want to start with the 6 o'clock games, buddy?
Shall we start as they come?
Okay.
So, let's get them out of the way. The mono...
Dramatic.
But the mono-ridden... New York Jets going up against the New England Patriots in Foxborough.
New England are 22-point favourites for this game now, with Jets on their third-string quarterback.
It's a dumpster fire, that division, isn't it? Just because it's got the Jets and the Dolphins in it.
Somebody was saying last night about how can the AFC South have been so bad for so long, and I'm like, mate, the AFC East is worst, because at least we've had different teams out of the AFC South. We've had one team win it other than the Patriots in like the last 15 years, and that was a fluke Dolphins win. Forget it. Forget about it. Don't even want to talk about this game. Patriots win.
Yeah, Patriots win. And then perhaps we could just lump in the Dolphins going to Cowboys Stadium.
Cowboys win. 22.5-point favourites.
Yeah.
We've got two 22-point favourites this week. Cowboys win. Nothing else to say about it.
Disgraceful. Do you know what? Already, I'm calling it the AFC disgrace.
Oh, yeah, it's the division of disgrace.
It's the division of disgrace.
Oh, it's not even close this season, is it? Week three and
we've already anointed it.
Well done, AFC East.
It's a record. It's a gridiron record, AFC East. Now known forever this season as the AFC disgrace.
Known forever this season.
AFC
disgrace.
I was going down a road that I didn't want to go down. Do you know what? Until someone else wins that division... other than the Patriots, you are the AFC disgrace. And I'm sorry, Buffalo. Buffalo, you've been great this season so far. All right, you have gone to two dreadful New York teams, but it's the AFC disgrace, and it's not even close.
All right, let's crack on.
Sorry about that. I'm not sorry.
You don't seem it. You really don't.
No, I'm not.
Let's talk about two teams who I can't figure out at all. The Oakland Raiders and the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings come into this 9-point favourites, which is probably fair considering where the Raiders have been over recent years.
Yep.
I think the Raiders showed their real stripes in the last three quarters last week. And I think that going up against this Vikings defence, they may well struggle, but they keep coming out hot. And Kirk Cousins keeps making mistakes. And the rookies are performing. I think if Vikings win, but I'm just saying if the Raiders kept it tighter than I'm expecting, I wouldn't be that surprised.
Do you think it's going to be within those 9 points? Or is 9-10 about right?
I don't make betting analysis on this podcast. But yeah, I do. No, I don't think I do.
I think that's betting Minnesota. Analysis. That's just saying how close do you think it will be? We're using the betting stuff as a guideline.
I think Kirk, I'm going to call it a Kirk Cousins. It's a Raiders going to the East Coast. It's not really the East Coast, is it? Because it's the Midwest, but...
do you mean a Kirk Cousins comeback?
The Raiders are heading to Minnesota and then they're hopping straight on a plane. They're here on Monday. They're doing the full week next
week.
They
are doing the full week. Yeah, up at the Grove in Watford.
My God, are we only a week away from the first London game?
It's weird, isn't it?
That's nuts. No, that can't be right.
No, it's right.
Surely not.
Week four.
Oh my God.
No, it's not right. No, it is right. 29th of September. It's the first one.
What? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Guys, the London games are here. Exciting.
Wow. That's actually mind-blowing, isn't it? Really?
That's absolutely ridiculous. It's not. It's October the 6th, the first one.
No.
Yeah.
So what are the Raiders? What are you on about?
I don't know.
Why have you led me down this path?
I'm really tired. Should we just cut this bit out entirely, or do we leave it all in? Right, the Raiders go to the Vikings, then to Indianapolis, then for a home game against Chicago in London.
Fine.
I misread what it said.
It's okay.
I'm a terrible human being. There are still 2 weeks till London.
Oh, phew.
Really did throw me then.
That feels about right, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
2 weeks till... Okay, good.
I'm taking a Vikings win.
I am also taking a Vikings win.
We need to see something from Kirk Cousins this week.
We need to see an awful lot more from Kirk Cousins. Also, I actually think the play calling has to be better from Kubiak and Mike Zimmer, because you had Green Bay on the rack. Just run the ball. Keep running the ball. Dalvin Cook was absolutely brilliant against Green Bay. 160-odd yards on the ground alone. Just keep running the ball.
Keep running the ball.
Keep running that ball.
Keep running that ball. Cincinnati Bengals, 0-2, heading to the Buffalo Bills. We could have the 3-0 Buffalo Bills here. Absolutely could have that.
Isn't that great?
Do you remember this was the game where a year ago Andy Dalton went into there and he received that incredible response because he scored the last minute touchdown to beat Baltimore in the 2017 season finale, which got them into the playoffs, the Bills. And so he basically got treated like an absolute hero.
It's like Bobby Zamora whenever he went back to Nottingham Forest. Because he scored the goal that
when
beat Derby.
When satin rosette and the ball hits your head, that's Zamora. Every time. Every single time you mention him. I'm not sure he's going to be getting the same sort of reception 12 months on.
I reckon he will.
I like this Bills team in the trenches. I think there's a real problem with the Bengals' running attack, which was meant to be very strong under Zach Taylor. Where's Joe Mixon? I took him in fantasy.
Has anyone seen him? I haven't seen him. Don't know where
he is. Has anybody seen Joe Mixon?
Has anyone seen Joe Mixon?
I haven't.
Niche sports bar reference for you all out there.
He's actually literally apologised to fans after his 1.8 yards per carry. Madness.
Do you know what, though? Andy Dalton has looked all right throwing the ball. Four touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah.
But he's getting a lot out of John Ross, a lot out of Tyler Boyd, and they've got AJ Green to come back. They've got Tyler Eifert back on the score sheet last week. He got a touchdown. I quite like the Bengals in this, and I don't think the Bills, it'll be very Billsy for them to lose. Therefore, I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow, I'm taking the Bills. I still think that there's every chance they collapse down the stretch. There was two seasons that I found here. 3-0 and then 5-2 in 2011, then finished 6-10. 2008, they went 4-0 and finished 7-9. They've got priors with this, but I think their hot start continues. I'm taking them to go 3-0. Okay. I can't remember if that's actually what I took in my gridiron picks. I should probably open it up on the website, shouldn't I? There's a lot of games with heavy, like, touchdown-level favourites this week. Next up, the Detroit Lions going to the Philadelphia Eagles in the 6 o'clock game. Jim Schwartz going to his former side. Facing his former side. Is there anything interesting there?
I mean, he's faced them before.
So. I think the only player left from that team. Oh, sorry, I've actually got the list of the players from that team. I was going to say Darius Slay is the only person I think is still there from 2013. But apparently long snapper Don Mulback and punter Sam Martin are also still there.
I love a long snapper. There was a long snapper tackle last week.
Oh,
it's one of the best. Honestly, football players that do things that they're not meant to do. Josh Lambeau made a tackle yesterday as well. Tackle Charlton tackle.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What do you fancy here?
I like the Eagles at home here. I think Carson Wentz is starting to show a bit more. I think he struggled last year coming back from that injury. And I think this year there was also obviously that little bit of rust first game of the season. Then last week I thought he looked a little bit better despite the defeat to the Falcons. But look, I like Wentz at home. I like their offense. They need to find more in the rushing game with Jordan Howard. Miles Sanders hasn't really done anything, and Darren Sproles, who's about 90, is still kind of going strong. But I'm foreseeing the Lions going 1-1-1.
What I do want to see more from them, not just rushing game, but pass rush. Eagles only have 2 sacks through 2 weeks, despite the fact that, okay, they've already lost Malik Jackson and Fletcher Cox they've already started Malik Jackson and Timmy Jernigan to foot injuries early on. But they've got a lot of depth on those lines. That's what took them to the Super Bowl when they beat the Patriots, was having kind of 8 guys that could rotate in.
Yeah.
It looked like they had something similar. Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat, sort yourselves out. Get after the quarterback this week. If they do that, then they should win this relatively handily. I am also taking the Eagles.
Okay, fair.
The Baltimore Ravens.
This is a great
game. Against the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you know the Chiefs are still 6-point favourites in this? But this is a great game. Lamar Jackson gave a great interview on Thursday Night Football with Steve Smith, former Panthers and Ravens wide receiver. And it was defiant. The brilliant thing he did in the press conference where he was talking about throwing all the touchdowns, and he said something like, yeah, not bad for a running back, eh?
Yeah.
Which was, I really like the guy's attitude. I really like his play on the field. I still worry that, you know, 6 games down the line when people have a lot more film on him, whether he can prove other dimensions work against good teams. And this is the first really good team they've faced. My problem is, even though the Chiefs have got some terrible human beings on the team, I want to root for Andy Reid, and I want to root for a team that I think can beat the Patriots in January. So I'm still rooting for the Chiefs.
I mean, but I think the Baltimore Ravens can beat the Patriots in January.
Ooh.
I really like Baltimore.
I'd love a Chiefs-Ravens AFC title.
This could be the AFC title
it's
game.
It's not going to be. It's going to be in Foxborough.
Yeah. But if you get...
They're going to be ready to hang a 7th banner already, even with 2 games left to play. Makes me sad.
That does make me sad as well. But look, Lamar Jackson's got the touch, he's got the poise, he's got the presence, he's making throws that people didn't think he could make because he was a running back. The fact they brought in Mark Ingram, who's having a really good season as well, and then we're not even really talking about that defense, where the defense is still really good despite it being a bit of a revolving door over the last season or over the summer. So I'm still taking the Chiefs there at home. If it was the other way around, I'd probably take the Ravens. But Chiefs at Arrowhead, Robinson coming in for Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins.
It's amazing how much depth they've got. They're missing Damian Williams, LeSean McCoy, left tackle Eric Fisher, obviously Tyreek Hill. It's amazing the Ravens lead the league in all of the offensive stats at the moment. But I still think that this Chiefs team will be a little too strong for them. I think going on the road to Kansas City and losing is nothing to be ashamed about. And they'll keep it tight, but I think the Chiefs take it.
I'll tell you what, they're missing Williams and McCoy. Mm-hmm. I think an Ollie Hunter switcheroo live on the pod. I'm going to take the Ravens.
Here we go. Here we go. Do you not think that they can do it with who's the young lad that they really like, who everyone said you should take in fantasy and then has done nothing through the first 2 weeks?
What's his name? Thompson. Is it Thompson?
Yes, Darwin.
Darwin Thompson.
Darwin!
Who
and
I've
they got
cut.
Terrell Williams there. They'll be fine. You cut him, of course you did.
Well, I cut him, and then now that I've learnt that bloody Williams is out...
I'm relatively sure I picked him up in that league.
Yeah, you probably did. Ravens for me. I think they're going to go in there and blow people away. I believe in Lamar. I believe in the new MVP. I'm calling it.
Wow. Right, before we get to the Packers, let's take a little break so Ollie can compose himself, because they're 2-0 and I'm not sure he can handle it. You're listening to The Gridiron Show.
4 days like no other. A festival like no other. For a bookmaker like no other. Betfred. Get up to £40 in free bets when you sign up using promo code CHELP40 and stake £10 on any Cheltenham race. Betfred. At the heart of Cheltenham. 18 plus. New UK customers only. Available from March 6 to March 13. £30 free bets credited within 10 hours of first bet settlement. Extra £10 free bets credited if first bet loses. Full terms at betfred.com/promotions. Keep it fun. BeGambleAware.org.
Fill the trolley with your favourite brands on rollback at Asda. A 38-pack of Fairy Non-Bio Capsules was £8.50, now £5.75. And Lenor Gold Fabric Conditioner was £4, now £2.50. Big brands, small prices. Don't compromise. Asda. Save money, live better. Selected stores subject to availability. Lenore 1.925 litres. Ends 18th of March.
You're listening to The Gridiron Show. We are recording, right, Ollie? It's weird being on this side of the desk. I'm very confused.
Definitely recording.
Let's turn our attention to Lambeau. The Green Bay Packers take on the Denver Broncos. The 2-0 Green Bay Packers. And again, 7.5-point favourites. Von Miller said he's expecting more from the Broncos defence this week after they gave up that late loss to the Bears. They haven't forced a turnover or recorded a sack yet, despite the fact they've got great pass rushers and Vic Fangio. Are you in any way fearful that this is the bounce back Broncos buster game?
Do you know what? No, because I don't think that offense is that good. Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman haven't really got anything going on the ground. Do you know what? It'd be really Packers-y for us to allow a load of yards on the ground. But given how Dalvin Cook smashed us last week, I think there'll be a concerted effort from the Packers to not allow that happen again. I do worry about the Broncos pass rush. You've got Chubb and Von Miller there as well.
I think it's a really interesting matchup against Bakhtiari and Bulaga.
Yeah.
Like, when both your tackles are fit, you've got an interesting offensive line. I still feel like there's just too much shade going on between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur.
Really? Like, are you buying into all of that?
After that week one game in Chicago where he made where they gave him the game ball and Aaron Rodgers in the middle of the post game thing went, well, yeah, that should probably be given to the defense though, shouldn't it? I don't know if I buy that he's happy. I don't know if I buy that he's getting into it. But I think your run game could get going. And Aaron Jones looked great last week, so maybe that's the way.
I think earlier this week, Matt LaFleur said that they're going to look at more of a committee between him and Jamal Williams. And Jamal Williams has looked good as well. They're both very, very similar backs. Good catching the ball, good a bit north to south as well. But that Green Bay offense really needs to start clicking. And we've been saying this now for about 3 years. And it hasn't clicked yet. There were times, especially the first two or three drives against Minnesota where it looked great, but when Minnesota adjusted and they worked out what Green Bay were doing or the scripted plays had run out, that's when Green Bay looked like they were out of ideas. I'm taking the Packers, but I think it's going to be a close game.
This is one where I was tempted to maybe go for the upset pick, but I have taken the Packers at home because apparently I don't do upsets. Let's go to Indianapolis. Is this the first of the late games? Are we still in the early games? Still in the early games as the Colts take on the Falcons. These really are two teams that I'm struggling to figure out.
What are they?
What are they, Ollie?
What are they?
I miss what are they.
Yeah, I quite like what are they.
The fact is that from Matt Ryan, I think he's got a, you've got a really great quarterback there who adjusts well, but has had a couple of problems in the last couple of weeks. You put that up against the King back against the Vikings. I don't know. I thought the Falcons were going to be really good this year, and so far they've been kind of mediocre. I also thought that the Colts would still be good even with Jacoby Brissett there, and they've kind of been mediocre. But they, it was beating the Eagles last week for the Falcons. That's a really good team in a tough way. I'm going to take the Falcons. Decided.
Do you know what? I think I'm taking the Colts. One of the reasons, and it's a bit of a theme for me this week, is that rushing attack from the Falcons. Devontae Freeman has looked rubbish, quite frankly. Absolutely rubbish.
Absolutely bloody rubbish.
Ito Smith hasn't been used enough. They're still trying with Devontae Freeman. Conversely, Marlon Mack for the Colts has looked great. And I think that's where the game could be won and lost, with that rushing attack. So, for me, I'm taking Colts at home.
There are guys that I do like on the Colts defense, I do have to say. Darius Leonard spent the week in concussion protocol. Pierre Desir was limited in practice. Jabal Sheard had a return to light practice, coming back from that knee injury. If they come back healthy and they play a lot of those players, then I give the Colts a shout, but I'm going to take the Falcons.
Okay.
Into the late games. Here's one we can gloss over, because the New York Giants are going to face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We can't gloss over, actually, because Danny Dimes is going to be coming into this game for the first time.
You called it. We recorded that before the news came out on, what was it, Tuesday? Tuesday morning?
Yeah, something like that.
You said it would happen. I thought they'd be more conservative. They've rolled the dice, but I don't think the defeats were on Eli.
How do you handle Eli Manning now, though?
I think you say to Eli Manning, you will probably get your chance in about 3 weeks' time, so stay fit and ready. Yeah, I think you do. Yeah.
I think you say, we've gone with Jones now, we have to stick with him, and then in the last home game of the season, you give Eli Manning, like, 2 perfunctory series to have a send-off, and that's it. He's done. And I think he might retire. I'm not sure he'll go to another team. Somebody was speculating that someone's going to trade for him. Who's trading for Eli Manning?
Well, when Foles went down, there was the whole Eli and Coughlin links again. But the way that Minshew's come in and made the team his own, I can't see Eli going there. Nick Foles looks like he's going to be back around week 10, week 11 anyway. Mm-hmm. So the Jags, no. I think elsewhere, I mean, a team that could probably do with Eli Manning is the New York Jets.
No.
He wouldn't move. But
I don't think they'd take him either.
No, but they need a quarterback.
Can we have him for a 6th-round pick? Fine, thank you. Like, that's the level I'm talking about. I think he's
droppable, and you just pick him up.
It's not fantasy, man.
Honestly, I don't think he has.
I'm not going to cut Eli Manning with his $20 million.
No, I'm not going to cut him. But I think another team just may acquire him and pay his contract. I don't think he's worth any draft pick whatsoever.
I'm not buying it. He'll sit there on the bench like a miserable.
Apparently, he's taken it really well, but that's just news coming out of New York. Like,
he's famously not taken things like that well in the past, so we'll have to wait and see. Yeah. I will say, Tampa Bay last week against Carolina looked really good defensively,
yeah.
And they did the one thing they're going to have to do in this game this week, which is stop a superstar running back. Christian McCaffrey, after going absolutely nuts in the first two games, 152 yards from scrimmage, 3 touchdowns. Oh, that was last year, sorry, against New York.
It was 200 and something yards.
200 and something yards in a touchdown, yeah. This last week, they really held him. They really restricted him. It's Saquon now. Saquon has got more 50-yard runs than anybody in the NFL over his time that he's been in there. He's a guy who can break off those big runs. He's a guy who can be elusive. He can catch the ball. He can be a north-south. He's a brilliant running back. I think he might be the most talented running back in the NFL. Even if Matt Sherry thinks it's Ezekiel Elliott.
No, I think it's...
If they can contain him, I think they win this game. And I think they will. And I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
I'm taking the Buccaneers. And I don't think it's even going to be close. I think it's at least 2 scores.
The Panthers go to the Carolina... No, they are Carolina. The Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray is going up against who? Who? Apparently...
It's Kyle Allen, isn't it?
We don't know if Cam Newton is going to be healthy enough, whether they're going to turn to backup Kyle Allen, who was Murray's college teammate.
No! Oh, all of the storylines!
Ron Rivera, when asked repeated questions about Cam Newton's status and being very coy on it during his press conference yesterday, walked out because he got so annoyed with being continually asked about Cam. Riverboat Ron threw his toys out of the riverboat, and I think that indicates to me that Cam Newton's not going to be ready to go, and he just didn't like answering and talking about it. With that in mind, the Panthers, who I really liked going into the season... Yeah. I can't back Kyle Allen. I think they go 0-3 and the Cardinals go 1-1-1.
Do you know what? I've taken the Panthers on the Gridiron Pick'em game. If Cam Newton starts, I stick with the Panthers.
I'm with you. I'm with you. If Cam Newton starts, I stick with the Panthers. And I actually have picked the Panthers for now.
I will switch to the Kyler Murray Cardinals.
They looked much better on offense last week. The running game is non-existent, but Christian Kirk looked great. Larry Fitzgerald and his Fountain of Youth.
Oh, God, I love Larry.
Looked fantastic.
The Japanese fighting fish, topical at the moment.
very good. If the Panthers have Cam, and I think they've got a better... They're going up against a worse run defense than they had last week in the Buccaneers. So McCaffrey gets going. Yeah, I'll take the Panthers, but my pick switches with Kyle Allen.
The same.
Let's agree to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. Too much agreement. Let's have an argument about Saints Seahawks.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have an argument here because we both have the same view of Teddy Bambi Bridgewater.
Why is he starting instead of Taysom Hill?
I know.
The joy of Taysom Hill is what we were just talking about with somebody like... And I did, so I'm doing this new... not really column, it's a panel, it's called, on the NFL UK website. It's like me, Nat Coombs, Jason Bell, and then Neil Reynolds. And we get asked 5 questions each week, and we just have to do a written response and send it back in. And I said on there, one of the questions was, what do the Saints do going forward? And I'm like, if I'm a Saints fan, I'd probably say Teddy Bridgewater. They've got a really tough 6 games coming up, safe hand, all of that. But both from a position of fun and also from the unpredictability, the wild card factor of having someone in there who hasn't been playing at quarterback on a regular basis, who you know can go wildcat in particular, by the way, like, no proper film on him. Just go in and don't let the Seahawks see what you're going to do. That would be so Sean Payton. That would be so going for an onside kick to start the second half in a Super Bowl. Go in there, throw Taysom Hill into the game, bish, bash, bosh. That's what I'd want to see. If they did that, I would take the Saints, but I'm going to take them.
Do you think there could be... We could see more of him under centre. I know we saw bits and bobs in like the whole kind of trickery stuff that Peyton did with Breeze as well. But could we see more of that? More bleeding of Taysom Hill in?
I think we could see the two of them both in the lineup regularly because they did sign the third quarterback off the practice squad onto the main squad this week. So that's obviously with that in mind is that, you know, if one of them goes down, they still want to be able to use Taysom Hill in gadgety plays. So here's another quarterback for us. Or they're both going to be on the field. Both could get injured. Honestly, the New Orleans Saints are a better football team than the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
But in Seattle, with a big quarterback injury, with everything else going on, I'm going to have to pick the Seahawks, who I said were going to go 8-8 at the start of the season, to go 3-0 to start the season.
I'm going Seahawks as well. I just wanted to say that a couple of years ago, I saw highlights of Taysom Hill as a Green Bay quarterback under center in a preseason game, and he was brilliant. He was brilliant.
I'm telling you.
But Seattle for me, I really like their rushing game, and DJ Metcalf looks like he could have a really interesting season. Rookie of the year style season.
I still think the Seahawks defense is lacking right now, and I still think on the offensive side of the ball, it's lighter on weapons and run game than they'd want to be. But Russell Wilson, 78% completion, 5 touchdowns, no interception. 300 yards and 3 touchdowns last week, his 9th career game at that level. What I will say is the Saints' pass rush, 9 sacks through 2 games, looking much better than 2 years ago. So maybe that's one area they've got an opportunity. It was worth talking in depth about this game, but against my better judgment, I'm taking the Seahawks.
Against your better judgment and... No, wait, that is your better judgment.
Yeah.
Your better judgment is...
Against my preference.
Your heart.
Against head over heart.
Yeah, 100%. It's your 49ers taking on the Steelers next.
The 0-2 Steelers facing the 2-0 49ers, who have won two road games on the bounce. It's the first game in the Grotty Levi's this season. They're 6.5-point favourites. Yeah. And I think with good reason. I do expect that Steelers defence to cause some issues, because I feel like it's difficult. I feel like the zone matchup should, in theory, work well against the Shanahan offence. But they looked so good last week, just wide receivers flying all over the place, just constantly somebody open on every play, and Garoppolo finding the right man with most of his throws. Other than that one ugly pick where he threw into double coverage, it's looked really, really good last week. And the defense is a lot better, and they're going against Mason Rudolph. I am going to take my San Francisco 49ers, and I don't think there's much more to say about it.
Great time to play the Steelers, especially new changing quarterback. It's a great time to play them, and especially taking an East Coast team all the way out west. You're off the back you're off the back of two really good statement-making road wins.
Well, one good statement-making win. The other one...
I'm having them both.
A grotty.
I'm having them both.
It was great defensively, to be fair.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm going the 49ers as well.
There's a classic 3-point home favourite coming up as the Texans go to the Chargers, which means coin flip game! Do you know what? Texans' run games look better. Watson's balling out. Hopkins looks great. They've got lots of other options in Fuller and Stills. Cooty. Boy, I love this Houston offence. I also like the Los Angeles Chargers defence. I think it's going to be a really intriguing matchup. What have I taken on the Gridiron Picks game? I've taken the Texans on the road, and I'm going to stick with it.
I'm going to take the Chargers at home. And they're very chargery. They'll probably win it or lose it with a last-minute field goal.
They'll probably win it. They might lose it. Who knows?
But it's a coin flip, so I'm going to take the Chargers. I quite like what they're doing with Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson. I quite like all of that. I think Ekeler looks really good. I thought when the Chargers came over here last year and Melvin Gordon was out, I thought that Ekeler looked a bit out of his depth as the main back. But splitting the touches with Justin Jackson, I quite like it. I'm taking the Chargers.
Also, let's be honest, it's the AFC South that's coming into town. And considering that they're a bit of a dumpster fire right now, they could easily just fall apart. Collapse like a flannel.
Well,
they're not making enough defensive plays for me. That's the one thing I will say. And Rivers, maybe I do want to take the Chargers. I think Rivers hasn't had the best start to the season, but I do love and admire Phil Rivers.
Love and admire.
They had a rough, rough game against the Lions last week, though, and the Lions aren't a great defense. Bounce back game. I might flip my pick.
Yeah, but they're not that great at home. You say they're more of a road team.
They went 8-0 on the road last year.
But they did just lose on the road to the Lions. This is a really
I'm taking the Texans. I'm overthinking it. I'm taking the Texans. Let's talk Rams-Browns.
I'm not really excited by the Rams.
I am. I think this is a really good Rams team with lots of weapons. I think the Browns were made to look good by a bad Jets team last week. I still think the line's a problem. I still think Baker Mayfield is warming into this season. I'm taking the Rams to win on the road.
I'm taking the Rams as well, but I don't know. I don't think they're that splashy at the moment.
They don't need to be splashy.
But I want them to be splashy. That's Ramsey. Be splashy.
They're not greatest show on turfing right now.
No, but, and I want that.
But they are bloody hell. But they're spreading the carries in the backfield. They're spreading the passes around. Cooper Kupp looked great last week. Robert Woods looked great.
Do you know what?
Cooks is a deep threat. Higby, Everett, they look great.
Cooper Kupp, to me, looks like he's got quicker and he's got bigger after that injury. I think he's done an awful lot of work in the gym to increase his pace, his quickness, his strength. I am actually really impressed, and I like to see him, but I'm not...
If Odell Beckham doesn't score an 89-yard catch-and-run touchdown off a read pass option, then the Browns end up having a very tight game with a Jets team on their third-string quarterback and missing their best defensive player. Yeah. Or second-best defensive player.
Miles Garrett looked good, though.
Oh, they've got a pass rush.
Yeah.
They really did have a pass rush. But again, against a not very good team.
Finally.
Rams win.
Ditto.
Is that Sunday night football?
That's Sunday night football. The Monday night game we don't even need to talk about.
Do we not?
No, let's talk about it a little bit. The Chicago Bears go to Washington. It's a bit meh, isn't it? It's a bit Washington. It's a bit...
I don't want to have to watch Mitchell Trubisky play football ever again. Gardner Minshew is a better quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky, and we've only seen two games from him.
I mean, yeah. Because Case Keenum's a better quarterback.
He's accurate, and he reads the field. I mean, you know, as always, people could get film on him, he could get found out, but early on, he's a better quarterback. Trubisky was a terrible pick. He was a terrible pick at the time, and he continues to be a terrible pick. I don't like him. Don't like the Bears.
Yeah, Willie. Well done, buddy. I'm taking what...
But their defense is really good. So.
Yeah, their defense is really good.
I like how much this is really opining, how much you're struggling with this. Yeah, I mean, the fact is that the Washington defense is rubbish. The Bears offense is rubbish. So
what's better, the Washington offense or the Bears defense? Well, the Washington offense, despite having a few splashy plays and Case Keenum being more efficient, no turnovers or no interceptions as of yet, but he's going up against the Bears. I'm taking Washington, but
Case Keenum looks nice when that offense is in rhythm. But are you going to be able to be in rhythm with Chicago's pass rush? 7 sacks through 2 games. Look great up front. Decent on the back end. I think I'm taking Chicago to go on the road and win. That's what I've done on Gridiron. I'm sticking with it. Chicago to win, but I don't think it's going to be a pretty game of football by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm taking Washington because I don't
quite
like
down it. On this week in terms
I,
of the
I don't
games.
Like the Bears.
I'm going to be on TalkSport on Sunday night. I'm doing the TalkSport 2 6 o'clock NFL jive.
Oh, are you? I must have missed that.
Email as well.
Email yeah. as well. You know, being a contributor. Yeah? No? All right. Fair.
I don't know. I'm not in charge.
Well, you know, thanks, mate.
Sorry, buddy.
It's good that you got my back.
What do you mean?
No, you've always got my back. I'm kidding.
I don't understand what your problem is.
I think we're done.
Great.
I've got to go and do work.
Yeah, you've got to go do work. I've got to go and sleep before I do work tonight on TalkSport. So as always, thank you for listening. I'd be interested to know. People listen to this show. Tweet us, @Gridiron, @WillGav, @OllieHunter. Are you happy with this format, where we just rattle through the games and chat about them and give our opinions? Do you want more? Do you want guests? Do you want more Matt Sherry? Do you want... What do you want from this show? Tell us what you want from this show.
Why, eh?
There you go. Sherry's on the line. @Gridiron, @WillGav, @OllieHunter. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. This is The Gridiron Show. Ollie, any final thoughts?
Enjoy the Rugby World Cup this weekend, everybody. Super Saturday looks fantastic. You've got Australia, Fiji, New Zealand, South Africa.
This was definitely worth adding extra time on.
France, Argentina. It's going to be great. I'm going to Hamburg tomorrow.
Oh, well, I missed that email then.
Well, a little trip away.
Why aren't we in each other's lives anymore, buddy?
I know, buddy. We still need to do that Tool Day.
Oh, yeah.
Have you listened any more of the album?
No.
You've got to listen to it.
Got so many podcasts to catch up on.
I know.
Anyway, thank you for listening. @Gridiron on Twitter, @UKGridiron. It got weird at the end. This has been The Gridiron Show.
We Danes are a modest bunch. We enjoy simple pleasures. As such, we tend not to blow our own trumpets. But since Carlsberg Export has a refined, full-bodied, and rather satisfying taste, perhaps just this once. Too much? Probably. Carlsberg Export, probably the most modest beer in the world. Enjoy responsibly. Drinkaware.co.uk for the facts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. So just like you, he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.